Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 21st of November. More than one in seven Americans, 47 million Americans, saw their food stamp benefits cut at the beginning of November. Congress is debating a farm bill, a $500 billion piece of legislation that funds agriculture and nutrition programs, and that will further cut funding for the program. The House and Senate are negotiating a compromise farm bill that would contain food stamp cuts somewhere between the $4 billion the Senate wants and the $40 billion that the House wants. Who uses food stamps and what happens when your food stamps are cut? And what's the future of the program? Our guest this hour is Sherry Tussler. She's been the executive director of the Hunger Task Force since 1997. She is a lobbyist, a decision maker, and a fundraiser, and she has done a lot of other interesting work. She founded Hope House, a settlement house for the homeless, serving as a victim witness in a sexual assault treatment program, and also working with adults with serious mental illness. We welcome phone calls about this cut of the program and the future of the food stamp program this hour. Our phone number for you to join the conversation is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Hour two of our program, we will be talking about what would the second term of John Kennedy have looked like if he had lived. Sherry, thank you very much for being with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Tell me what happened on November 1st to food stamps.
Well, the ARRA, or American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, expired. And what that meant was that everybody who was using food stamps was going to receive a cut to their food stamps. Didn't matter if you were a senior, mom with children at home, working family, everybody received a cut this month.
Mm-hmm. And tell me how many people were affected. This is a large program, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. The number of people here in Wisconsin, 859,807 people were participating in food share in September of this year.
Mm-hmm. And how substantial was the cut?
It would depend on your case and the facts of your case, but as little as a few dollars all the way up to $70 in cuts. It just really does depend upon your income, your access to utilities, and what kind of assets you have.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, of course, that's happening is that this farm bill, the agriculture bill, keeps getting debated and debated. It's been going on for a long time. There is a negotiation on a compromise bill. Tell me what the outcome could be here. Is it that there could be further cuts in the program, or would they stay where they are?
Oh, yeah. I think there's a mindset in Washington that the food stamp program is way too large.
Really?
We've referred to President Obama as the food stamp president, and people believe that the food stamp program somehow changed or grew under his administration. And enrollment clearly did grow, but it was reflective of the recession because the program really didn't change. And so people who are concerned about the high level of enrollment should be concerned about economic recovery for people at the lowest level of the economic ladder. Right now, the difference between the Senate and the House is $4 billion in cuts or $40 billion in cuts, and that's a huge place to be apart. But we're hearing that right now this conference committee is meeting, and they may come up with a farm bill by as soon as tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good news because we don't want it to expire. It would be a lot like the government going out of business that we had recently starting January 1. And we clearly want to see a farm bill passed. But what kind of cuts will we make to the food stamp program? And it looks like there'll be much stiffer work requirements coming up.
Like what kinds of requirements?
Well, here in Wisconsin, what they want to do is have people who are able-bodied working adults work for their food stamp benefit. And so if you were a single adult and didn't have any child care responsibilities, you would be required to report to a welfare reform organization like a W-2 agency and work for those food stamps.
What about those people? And I'm sure there are many who are already working and are getting food stamps because they can't, their pay isn't enough to buy food.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up because everybody thinks that people on food stamps are just sort of laying around doing nothing. And the reality is that many, many working people are eligible for food stamps because they do have expenses that are in excess of what they can afford based on their very low-wage job.
Mm-hmm. Give me a sense of the history of the food stamp program, Sherry. When was it started? How effective has it been? How much waste has there been in the program?
Well, the food stamp program actually goes way back to the 1970s. And back then, commodities were given to people. And then eventually they created the paper coupon that you could use at the grocery store. And later came the debit card, which here in Wisconsin we call the Quest card. And so now people are able to go to the grocery store and shop for food and only food. No paper products, no hygiene products, no tobacco or alcohol, but just food. And there's some, you know, challenges out there. People think that people should only be able to eat healthy foods if they're getting food stamps. There's a lot of issues surrounding food stamps.
Mm-hmm. I know that you have been advocating for programs that would connect food share beneficiaries to fresh produce at farmers markets. Is this a state initiative?
Well, we're hoping to make it a state initiative. We want to start here in Milwaukee with our winter farmers market. We've had a couple of donors come forward who are willing to sort of double up the amount of value that your food stamps would offer to you. And so if you've got $10 in food stamps to spend at the farmers market, we're going to turn it into $20. And the idea is that we want to put an incentive around healthy eating rather than to try to restrict people around what they can purchase.
Mm-hmm.
We want, I mean, I think most people want less government. And so the idea of a bill, which currently is pending in the Wisconsin House, is AB 110, which says that you can only use your food stamps to purchase healthy foods. But how do you decide what's healthy?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody will come up with a list and say, these are the foods you can buy.
Well, you know, WIC has a program like that, but That's really limited, and there are so many more foods out there that people would argue are healthy and good for them than just the WIC foods. And what we're talking about basically is reinventing how we code and regulate food. And that seems really sort of stepping over the top. So we are looking at this winter farmers market option, hoping that we can research whether or not people will respond well to incentives around healthy eating. And if we can, then create some opportunities for people to shop at farmers markets throughout the summer season, mm-hmm. and use their food stamps to get healthy food.
Mm-hmm. This isn't really the focus of our conversation, but I'm sure you're up to speed on the subsidies for agribusiness that are also a part of this farm bill. Some have said, how can you give such subsidies to agribusiness, to people who are making a fine profit, thank you, and on the other hand, cut food stamps for people who are really struggling?
You know, and that seems to be the way that almost every piece of legislation goes. You know, you connect the haves with the have-nots and see whether or not you can sort of ride through on somebody's coattails. Clearly, there are subsidies for farmers as well as agribusiness, and the farmers do need some of the subsidies that are out there in order to regulate how food is grown and to make sure that our food supply remains stable and our food remains affordable. And that was the original intent of the Farm Bill. But I think things have clearly gotten out of whack, and there are a lot of businesses related to food production who are now receiving government welfare,
mm-hmm.
who are also critical of the people who might actually need government welfare.
Mm-hmm. I read a press report today that Democrats in the House are considering banding together to derail the Farm Bill entirely, which would preserve nutrition funding at its current level.
Well, that'll be interesting. Because, you know, derailing it may also mean that we don't have a farm bill at all, and then we'll look at government shutdown just for the federal nutrition programs. You know, clearly those agricultural subsidies as well. But when government shutdown was occurring in October, we were looking at WIC program closures. We were looking at loss of food stamps for people in need, failed school meals programs. All of those things are part of the farm bill.
I see. And this difference between what the Senate wants, $4 billion, and $40 billion that the House wants, if you had a $40 billion cut in this program, you'd really be almost getting rid of it, wouldn't you?
Not really, but you would definitely see significant cuts. And what you would see is a lot of people visiting food pantries, soup kitchens, and homeless shelters looking for some kind of nutritional support. And I'm here to say that last year we distributed $9 million worth of food here in Milwaukee County.
Wow.
To our food pantries. And the food stamp program itself is going to actually produce $39 million worth of revenue for Milwaukee County. So if you were to start pulling out eligibility for certain people and sending them to the food pantry, you would find a food pantry system that would fail.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't keep up the pace. And the food pantry really should not be the option. People should be able to go to the grocery store and purchase their own foods.
I passed a church this morning on the way to work, and I know they have a breakfast program, but today must have been a food pantry day. I was amazed how many people were on the street with bags of food. A lot of people.
This is that week before Thanksgiving when almost every church in the city is giving out a turkey.
Oh.
And maybe some additional holiday foods.
Mm-hmm.
And more people are going to visit a food pantry in the month of November hoping that they can have holiday foods than you could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm. So what are you hearing? This obviously affects real people. I have read stories, and I'm wondering if this is an overstatement, that people have had to really change their eating patterns, that it's not a whole lot of money you're given for food when you look at how much it would be per meal. Some families are saying they buy lunch meat. That's the only meat that they eat during the course of a week, and they have to cut back on that probably on the weekends. Very little money available. Maybe you could buy some canned vegetables. Very little money available for fresh produce. It's just not easy to get by on food stamps.
It really isn't. The average monthly benefit for a household here in Wisconsin is $129.58. So imagine living on $129.58 for your grocery shopping budget this month. And then you know what it's like to live on food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have participated in the food stamp challenge, which involves us living on less than $1.50 per meal for a week. And anybody who thinks that's easy to live on food stamps should go ahead and try that on for size. Just limit yourself to $1.50, which means like $33 for the week, and go out and shop for your meals and see how much meat you're going to eat, see how much fresh produce you're going to have in your diet.
Well, it sounds like you did that. What did you do?
I mostly lived on things like rice and beans, peanut butter. I had crackers. My fruit for the week was frozen juice.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to afford carrots and celery.
Let's welcome phone calls. Our lines are filled. We're talking about food stamps this hour of the program, and it looks like this story will develop even further by tomorrow. The House and Senate are negotiating a compromise farm bill that will contain food stamp cuts. It depends on how severe those will be. But already, as we said at the beginning of the show, 47 million Americans saw their benefits cut, and they experienced that the very beginning of November. What's the future of the program? What's the impact right now? We welcome your phone calls. And I'm sure that there are some of you listening who have been recipients of food stamps. You either are now or you have been. How the program has benefited you. Some of you may think it's not a good program and can explain why. We'd love to hear from all of you this hour. 800-486-8655 is the number. 800-486-8655. Susan in Milwaukee is our first caller for you, Sherry. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I would just like to say that this cutting of food stamps is punishment for the elders, for women and children. And it is a real slap in the face, and I can't believe that America thinks they can do that to their poor. That's all I have to say.
Thanks for the call, Sherry.
She's right. 42% child poverty rate here in Milwaukee. So when you're cutting food stamps, you're definitely cutting children off of the food that they need to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Do a lot of people who are getting food stamps need to go to food pantries to supplement their diets?
Yes, they do. Yes, absolutely. What we find is that people are visiting a food pantry once a month. They're making it through 2 or 3 weeks with their food stamps, and then they need charity in order to make it through that final week of the month.
Mm-hmm. And what about the burden? Because it's been around for a long time for those pantries to provide food. They've had to do it year after year after year after year.
Here in Milwaukee County, our pantry network is organized in a way where the Hunger Task Force supplies the basic foods that they need. So we're going to make sure that they have nutritious food for breakfast, lunch, and supper based on the number of individuals they served in a prior month. We don't want to see any food pantry shortages, and so if a pantry runs out of food, we will deliver additional food to them. And we have not had any shortages since they reformed welfare back in 1997.
Let's go to Frank in Beloit. Hi, Frank.
Hi. I try to help people as much as I can, but where do you draw the line? I know at least five families have been drawing food stamps and welfare for over 20 years. I mean, granted, you try to feed everyone, but where do you draw the line? And also, you stated earlier that people that are on food stamps should be able to choose to buy their own foods. Well, that I disagree with. If they're given food stamps like that, they should be told what to buy.
Sherry.
Frank, what you have to think about is how you label food and what the label, who influences how food is labeled. And the food industries decide what is healthy and what isn't for us, and they're going to label that food. So when we go to the checkout, our UPC code is going to tell the debit card whether or not the item is food. If we're going to take it one step further and decide if it's healthy food, then we're going to have agribusiness arguing with our legislators about salt content, sugar content, other ingredients in our food. And before you know it, we have to decide, are potatoes healthy? Is pork healthy? Is oil healthy? Is butter healthy? And everybody who produces that food item is going to influence the legislator to say that it is healthy, when indeed maybe it is not.
Well,
I'm not suggesting any of those food items I just named are not, but we really have to think about how far we want to go towards nannying people at the grocery store level to determine whether or not they're going to eat healthy. I would love it if everybody made good decisions about the food that they ate, because Wisconsin could be a much less obese state, a much healthier state. But the reality is that you can't overreach at the grocery store level. It's just not feasible financially.
Well, and think of the tons of food that's on the grocery shelves that's processed foods that's not very good for you.
Right. And all the people who process that food are going to argue with their elected official that that's good for you.
Mm-hmm. What about Frank's point that he knows at least five families that have been on food stamps for 20 years?
Yeah, and the reality is that if you are income eligible, you can get food stamps throughout your entire life. For instance, people with disabilities, seniors 60 or older who are never going to be able to work again, people with children. And, you know, you cannot, I guess, influence which families should or shouldn't be on, and time limits have proven to be ineffective. Last time we did welfare reform, all we did was fill the homeless shelters with those people, and somebody's going to have to take care of those people. And as a caring community, we all have to make the decision that we are all going to be involved in who takes care of them.
More phone calls in a moment. Sherry Tesler is our guest this hour. She's the executive director of Hunger Task Force and has been for a number of years. We're looking at the cuts to the food stamp program that went into effect at the beginning of November, and what's going on now with Congress getting ready to pass a farm bill, which could happen, Sherry says, as soon as tomorrow, and there is a good deal of debate and compromise negotiations going on as to what kinds of food stamp cuts there will be in this farm bill. So that's what we're talking about. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. Our email, if you'd like to use that, is talk@WPR.org. And our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go back to phone calls. Cuts in the food stamp program is what we're talking about this hour. Marcus in Madison, hello.
Hi. Thank you, ladies, for having this program. I wish, I don't know if you did, but I hope you had a program back similar back in June when the Republicans and Democrats ganged up to cut $400 million a year over the next 5 years out of the food stamp program. The Census Bureau reported this year that 22% of those under the age of 18 live in poverty last year. To address Frank's point about where you draw the line, I would point out there is not a functioning economy on the planet that doesn't get huge amounts of state of infusions of public cash in the United States. Agriculture, massive state subsidies, high-tech industry, which is paid for by the Pentagon system, and the pharmaceutical industry, which is all heavily subsidized through public science funding. This is where all the tax money goes. This is just an attack on poor people, and it's both parties doing it. And so, Frank, understand, this is the real game. There's no such thing as a free market. It's all public subsidy. Nothing functions without it. Now, do you want to feed children who are hungry, or do you want to feed corporations who are not?
Thanks, Marcus, for your call. Sherry?
Marcus, I appreciate your comments, and I think it is important for all of us to figure out where we would draw the line, because people who are concerned about the quality of life in their community don't want to see people standing on street corners hungry. And there is enough food produced in Wisconsin to feed all of the citizens of Wisconsin. And so these are matters of public policy. How do we decide which people get access to food and which ones don't? And then when they do get access to food, how do they get that access? Is it through the grocery store or is it through the church? And relying on the church to do all of the work is really not the plan. It should not be the plan.
Randy in Key Wascom, hi.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. One thing, your last caller was talking about welfare for farmers. You got to remember, this farm bill, or the farm bill has gotten to a point where the farm bill part of it is only 10 to 15% of the total farm bill. Everything else goes to food stamps and school lunch programs. You want to talk about working poor? You want to come out here and meet some of the farmers that I work with? You got people that work 90, 100 hours a week, and they eat well because they grow their own. But as far as living above the poverty level, nah. By the time you get done with the payment end of it, there isn't much left. But as far as these people that get the handouts from food stamps, and you got cases where you invest. Well, look at there's cards that get lost. You have people that lose 2-3 cards a month, and they just give them another card. So there's fraud out there, but nobody wants to investigate it. I've lived on $100 a month in groceries a lot of times.
So
you
Randy,
you bake your own bread. I do.
Right.
I work
Randy,
90 to 100 hours a week.
So do you think there should not be a food stamp program at all, Randy?
No. What I'm saying, it needs to be better regulated. Obama is the food stamp president. The numbers have gone up, and the checking it out has gotten very lax. There's people, if you check, there's a lot of people that shouldn't get it, that do get it, and that means that people that do deserve it in times don't get it, because the people that get the most in this country seem to be the people that are best at scamming the system.
I haven't heard about reports that a whole lot of people are getting food stamps who don't deserve food stamps. Maybe I've missed something, Sherry, have I?
The way that the feds judge the practice of a state in administering the food stamp program is through a quality control process, and they come in and they look at how the cases were authorized and whether or not there's adequate demonstration proof of income, household size, et cetera. And Wisconsin actually earns bonus funds, frankly, for having a well-run food stamp program. Mm. So we operate at a higher level than most states here in Wisconsin in terms of quality of administration of the food stamp program. I would like to comment on farmers, though, because I think that farmers are super important.
Right.
Hunger Task Force also operates a farm. We have a 200-acre farm where we grow produce, and we supply those churches with fresh and healthy food so that people visiting a food pantry can get good access to produce. But the link between farmers and the federal nutrition programs is that farmers are producing the food that we eat, and we need to support them and sustain them. And farming is really, really hard work, and most farmers do live just at the edge of poverty on a constant basis because of the expenses associated with their implements, their seeds, their fertilizers. But it's also important to recognize that the food system is connected to the people who eat the food, and farmers shouldn't judge poor people. They should realize that they are growing the food that feeds those people, and they're sustaining those people.
And I read somewhere in the last month or so that the average farmer income is something like $23,000 a year. So I would imagine that a lot of farmers can sympathize with people who don't have a lot of money for food.
Yes, and I would be willing to bet that there are farmers that are using the food stamp program.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. Anne in Madison writes, there's a perception being portrayed of food stamp recipients being lazy, unemployed people who should just get off their butts and get a job. But really, what percentage of food stamp recipients are actually unemployed, able-bodied persons versus children, elderly, disabled, working poor? Do we have those kinds of statistics?
Recently, the state has made the decision that able-bodied working adults will start working in 2014, and I believe that they assessed their caseload and figured out that there was somewhere around 85 to 90,000 individuals who are able-bodied and will be required to work in order to earn their food stamps in the future.
And will they be able to find jobs?
Well, that is really the question, because even when we reformed welfare, we wanted people to go to work, but we didn't have the jobs available for them. Rural areas of Wisconsin, as well as the central city areas of larger communities like Milwaukee, don't have jobs available. And so I worked, as an example, this summer in a neighborhood that had 75% of its adults were unemployed. Mm. And there are no jobs. There's right. nothing but boarded up houses. There mm-hmm. are very few bus lines. There are no stores. How do people get to work, and what kind of expectation can we have for them for work when there is no access to employment?
Al in Eagle River. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for the show and letting me speak. I wanted to speak to the scamming and fraud aspect. One family, the Waltons, who own Walmart, has more wealth than the bottom 40% of our country. The top 1% today owns 38% of all wealth. We live in a hyper-capitalist society, which means the function of every institution is not to perform a public service, but to make as much money as possible. There's an effort to privatize water, for God's sakes. One out of four major profitable corporations pays zero in federal income taxes. You got that? You think that before you cut health care or food stamps or Social Security, you might want to take a hard look at that issue. You know, am I missing something here? Thank you.
Thank you, Al, for the call. Would you like to respond, Sherry?
No, I guess I would agree about his concern that there are very wealthy people who have great access to the decision-making on public policy, who influence legislators, and who have no experience with hunger or poverty. And it's important that all of us understand about the issues that we're talking about before we make decisions about the lifestyles of other people or whether or not people deserve our help.
Let's go to Daniel in Hartford. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. Okay. I just have a question about actually multiple on the food stamp. First is drug testing. I know I have to take a drug test every month for the money I earn. I go to work, and I work hard for it. A lot of these people, they have money for drugs, alcohol, tobacco. I'd like to know the statistic on tobacco users of welfare recipients. The other question I kind of have is, I know multiple people where they're on welfare and they have a child. You can't afford the children you have. Why are you having another child? And there's no restriction on them. Well, they just get more money. Here you go. Have another child, have more money. They all have iPhones. They all have their gadgets and gadgets. Like I said, they all have money for cigarettes, yet their child's starving. I just don't understand how we go ahead and we enable them to continue. And also the crackdown of welfare cards. I watched a guy in Aldi's. He had five welfare cards. He knew the PIN numbers to all of them, and there's no repercussion for that for the store or for the users of, you know what, someone used your welfare card, you lose it. But they sell them, and it's a sad fact.
Daniel, don't you think that you've made a hugely general statement here about everybody who's getting food stamps in this country without a deeper awareness of how some people are honest people who may even be working, who just don't make enough money to meet their family, to feed their family? They're poor, and they're not using money for drugs. They're not using money to, you know, to have more kids. They're trying to be good people who are just doing the best they can.
What is the statistic on that, though?
Well, where does your comment?
I've seen a lot of people that are on welfare.
All right. Yeah, I heard what you said. And there's this perception among some people, and we're hearing from some of them today, that everybody who's getting food stamps is a drug addict. I mean, I don't know where that comes from, Sherry. I don't. You talked about walking a mile in somebody else's shoes. I don't think people have a deep understanding of what poverty is like in this country.
No, because, you know, if we're talking about, for instance, people having more children and having their welfare increased, that's a myth, because right. W-2 did away with that. You don't get an increased benefit for having more children. not since 1997. So that's outdated. People who smoke are addicted to cigarettes, and I am very anti-smoking. But the reality is you can't use your food stamps to buy cigarettes. So the food stamp program has no association with addicted smoking people. And with regard to people selling their food stamp card, the reality is if you sell your card, you've just lost it, which means you're not going to get a new card automatically. The state will put you on a list after you ask for a replacement card. And by the third replacement card, you will be meeting with a trained fraud investigator who is going to get to the basis of why you continually lose your card. So people who have multiple cards at a grocery store may be acting as an authorized beneficiary for the card. A younger person shopping for their grandmother. So you got to think before you just make assumptions when you're standing in line at the grocery store. You have to look when you're driving on the street and see that kid who doesn't have a decent coat and think about maybe it's not because his mom doesn't care, but because they can't afford one. You have to stop making assumptions about people and start thinking about what it means to live in a community and what your responsibility to your fellow person is.
Hmm. Let's go to Fred in Green Bay. Hi, Fred.
Good afternoon. I'm calling to ask for some advice. I regularly email and communicate with Congressman Ribble and Senator Johnson and ask them to take a look at how they're voting and to show more compassion for the disabled, the youth, and those that are as fortunate. And all I ever get is a canned response. And then when I look at their vote, I see that they have not taken into consideration what many of us are asking them to do. So how do we deal with that? How do we approach that and get them to be more compassionate? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Fred. Sherry?
Well, I would suggest that you actually schedule a meeting and go see him, because the person who's giving you the canned response is probably one of his aides. And it's really important to meet with your elected officials and let them know that you vote and that you are concerned about the needs of poor people in your community and you want to hold them accountable. And I would suggest that you organize the people that you know who are like-minded to do the same kind of effort. Together, we can influence and make a decision or make a difference with decision makers. And that's the only way. Don't give up. Just continue to vote and express your voice and your opinion, because you will make a difference.
What do you think, what have you lobbied for, Sherry, when it comes to the future of the food stamp program? What should it be?
Well, the food stamp program should be one that is accessible to everybody. And so here in Wisconsin, as an example, we have a really well-run program that is accessible because you can go online and apply. We heard recently about failures of the Affordable Care Act. Well, Wisconsin's access program actually does work really, really well. I would advocate that seniors should only have to be reviewed once a year rather than having to consistently go into the welfare office and get their case reviewed. People with disabilities shouldn't have to have frequent reviews, because the reality is that in most cases their disability or their disabling condition is going to prevent them from working into the future. I would advocate for an increased benefit for people who are purchasing fresh and affordable foods at farmers markets. I think it just makes sense. If we want people to eat healthy, we got to get them the resources so that they can buy the food from those farmers.
Laurel in Reidsville. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to address some of the things that are myths about what people like my family on food stamps can afford. To the gentleman who says every one of us has a track phone, or a cell phone, I mean, iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even afford my track phone most months. I go to the grocery store. I use my benefits to buy healthy foods for my family and a treat every now and again. I have four kids. What kid doesn't like a cookie every now and again, you know? But I have to deal every time I go to the grocery store with the perceptions of the cashier and the people in line around me analyzing what's in my cart, because I'm paying for it with my food stamp money.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to be frustrating, getting the glares in the grocery stores and you know, people, I feel like I have to really justify what I'm putting in my cart because of other people's perceptions of what I look like and what I'm buying. And I've had to deal with people telling me, well, there are so many people that use their food stamps for this, that, and the other that they don't agree with. But part of getting a card like that is so people can make choices. And do we want people to make healthy choices? Of course we do. But they're people, you know. And not everybody makes the right choice all the time.
Laurel, if you don't mind explaining, how do you happen to be on food stamps? What are your circumstances?
I have three special needs kids.
Mm.
And caring for three special needs kids does not allow me to work outside my home.
Mm-hmm.
My husband works outside of our home, but we need somebody here full-time all the time
mm-hmm.
because the cost of care outside the home for the three kids is exorbitant, and I would not be able to make enough money to pay for the care if I worked outside my home, so I do it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Laurel, very much. I'm so glad you called today. Well, Sherry, there's the voice of people who use food stamps.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure she's got a really tough road in front of her,
mm-hmm.
and I wish her well.
Yeah. Thank you, Laurel, for your call. Alan in Galena, Illinois. Hi.
How you doing?
Okay, Alan. How are you?
Not bad. Well, I've heard from a lot of the people called in, and the food stamps, they're it's a viable program that for people that need it. And there's times when I needed it, but I didn't. Too proud. Went out and did what I had to do. But the one thing that I really found out about is some of these people that are on food stamps, I've heard that, you know, you can't, like tobacco and alcohol. Well, they found a way how to do it. Now, you take a person that's not on food stamps and wants some cheap meat or whatever they want, they'll go out and they'll use their food stamps on that, and they'll sell that to the person to give them money to go get tobacco and alcohol, which hurts the people that's really on it. The elderly, especially the elderly, some of the people that have the young children, I mean, they need it. People like this, it's greed. I mean, it all comes down. This program was made for one thing. The people they're ingenious about how to get around things, so they do hurt the program. So that's my gripe.
Yeah, I understand, and I'm hearing from people who are saying these people who are abusing the program, these people are doing this, these people are doing that. Where is all your information coming from about how widespread this abuse is and what all of, quote, these people are doing?
Some people are on it, but I will not tell who they are, but I have mentioned to certain authorities around here, and so they're kind of wise to it, but it's done nationwide.
Sherry.
Wisconsin has a fraud hotline that people can call if they suspect either retail fraud, which is a retailer selling non-food items to somebody who's using food stamps, or individual fraud in the case of somebody, as he suggested, purchasing food and then trading it for a non-food item. And so people should feel free here in Wisconsin to call the Office of Inspector General and report food share fraud, because Wisconsin doesn't want to see fraud. There's also, I think, you know, the idea, again, is being put forward that I know these people, but I always question someone, if you know that that's going on and you see that that's going on and you
mm-hmm.
choose not to report it, then you probably should also choose not to be such an open critic of a program that's helping so many people.
Mm-hmm. More phone calls in a moment. We're talking about food stamps this hour of the program. More than one in seven Americans, 47 million Americans, had their food stamp benefits cut at the beginning of November. There is currently a debate going on the farm bill and the amount of money that will go for food stamps, and a compromise is currently being negotiated. And that's a whole other story. There may be a compromise by tomorrow. There may not be a compromise by tomorrow. So the future, at least of today, as of today, is somewhat questionable as to how many further dollars will be cut from food stamps. So we're talking about all of this with Sherry Tussler, who has worked for many years to make certain that people who are hungry get food. She's the executive director of Hunger Task Force. She is a lobbyist, a fundraiser, decision maker. Prior to the Hunger Task Force, she founded Hope House, a settlement house for the homeless. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Food stamp program this hour, and let's go to Tom in Rhinelander. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, it always just irritates the Jesus out of me listening to these people call in and say, you know, that we should really legislate poverty by anecdote. I practiced law representing poor people for 25, 30 years and people with disabilities and related types of things. And, you know, I didn't meet very many people who really wanted to be in that position. Yes, I saw people who took advantage of it, and there will always be people who take advantage wherever they can of something, whether it be at the highest levels or the lowest levels. But we cannot make decisions, you know, our policy making in this country based on what somebody saw in the line at the grocery store, for God's sake, on one occasion, and then, you know, project that onto everybody else. We have no jobs in this country. And the jobs that we do have, we don't pay people. So at some point, you have to recognize reality and say, look, you know, people cannot make it in this country anymore because our economic system is failing them. It's not because they want to be poor and want to take free food stamps.
Your point is appreciated. Sherry.
I'm with them. I agree that you should, these generalizations I hear about people and the criticisms and then, you know, the walls that people build between themselves and other people are the problems that really are exacerbating poverty and joblessness in America. If we paid a living wage to workers, they wouldn't need to be on food stamps. And so we should question why one in three people is on food stamps even though they work for a living. And who are those people and what are their circumstances? The mom who called in earlier, her husband is at work right now. And she's home taking care of her children. Right. And when I grew up, that was what moms did.
And somebody has to be there because three of the children are disabled. Thank you, Tom, very much for your call. And tell me if this is right, that we had this food stamps at a certain level because of the recession that we were in and almost the collapse of the economy. But some are saying that the economic recovery has been so slow that there still are a lot of people, we do shows on this all the time, of people who are working two jobs and three jobs and the minimum wage isn't cutting it for a lot of people and all the jobs that don't provide family-supporting wages. So we had what? A thing that went into place in 2009 and then it expired because we thought we were going to be okay by now?
Exactly. Okay. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 added increases to the food stamp caseload because it was the fastest way to put money into the economy. Give poor people an extra few dollars to buy food at the grocery store, and you know what? They're going to go spend that money. Mm-hmm. They didn't put it in their savings account. They needed the money. And so the idea was that we were going to hasten the economic recovery by infusing money into a program that was only going to help people at the lowest level of the economic ladder.
Let's go to Marty next in Bennett. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I was really hoping that a gentleman who called in earlier talking about the Walton family and corporate welfare was going to talk about how farm subsidies are given to wealthy farmers, which in my opinion is a much graver and more shameful drain on our federal budget than the food stamps. And Sherry, I believe you said that the majority of people on the food stamp program are women, children, and the elderly, so I find it fascinating that the only people who have called in this afternoon to complain about it have been men. I was about ready to grab my radio and throw it across the room when that third guy called. Thanks to both of you for standing up for the forgotten poor in this country. We just don't talk about them enough. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you, Marty. And she is right. We don't talk about who all of the people are who are using this program. We haven't talked about poverty in this country for a long, long time or done anything about it, Sherry. I don't think.
I agree. I was in a meeting the other day, and there was a Dominican sister talking, and she said, we need to take to the streets because the last time we did, it worked. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my. And I was just a kid then. But the reality is that people are living in poverty, and they're voiceless, and they're shamed, by systems and institutions and people who want to keep them in the place that they are. You know, we should welcome opportunities for that mom to be able to not only have child care that works for her, but a living wage job. She should be able to purchase food at the grocery store and not be ashamed. And the people who are judging her and all the other people on food stamps should really sort of look inward, especially at this time of year when we're all supposed to be thankful right. and concerned about our community and wonder why they feel those feelings and then
right.
exercise some forgiveness, some understanding, and then change their behavior.
Yeah. Thanks, Marty. Charlie, Milwaukee, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to ask if, you know, when you talked about affordable daycare, is there a chance of expanding the school day or even summer school or summer programs for the children such that breakfast, lunch, and dinner could be provided that would allow the children to have better nutrition? Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Actually, here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the Summer Food Service Program, which is another one of those federal programs that's part of the Farm Bill, does reimburse for breakfast and lunch provided by the schools. The problem that we have is that the school day has been shortened, and especially summer school and summer recreation, because our public schools are so poor. And so in the past, when summer school would last 6 or 8 weeks, it's now 4 weeks and 4 days a week. And so we actually have received private sector funding from Kohl's department stores to keep the schools open, so that we can provide those meals, and then we're able to add supper to the mix because kids really do need breakfast, lunch, and supper, and they need it year-round.
Thank you, Charlie. For those, and most listeners, of course, are who are compassionate and would like to not see anybody hungry in the state of Wisconsin or anywhere for that matter, what are you in need of right now, Sherry?
Hunger Task Force is moving turkeys out here all week as fast as we possibly can because we want to make sure that people are having a thankful Thanksgiving. And so people should think about donating to either Hunger Task Force or the local food pantry. Reach out right now and make sure that you give holiday foods because that's what people should be able to sit down to a week from today, literally. And then into the future, keep thinking about how you can help end hunger, not just by donating to your local charity, but having a voice like our friend in Green Bay. Call up your elected official and hold them accountable. Work on ending future hunger, and then be less critical of the public policies that actually feed the poor and think about how they're connected to the policies that make sure that farmers have adequate subsidies in order to operate in years of drought. And think about the connection with agribusiness and how much of those subsidies that you're so concerned about are actually going to the wealthiest.
One more phone call, about 35 seconds. Bob in the UP, hi.
Yeah, just so the government has actual statistics on the multiplier effects of government programs. There is no program in our country that is more effective at stimulating the economy than the food stamp program. When people have food stamps, they go into the grocery store. Those grocery store people go to the barber. The people at the barber go to the grocery store. Again, it goes on and on and on. That multiplier effect of tax breaks is less than it's a 0.30, meaning for every dollar we give in tax breaks, it's costing us 70 cents. Well, I'm using the term wrong, but it's about $1.58 for food stamps, and it's less than 30 cents for tax breaks.
Thank you, Bob, very much for the call. Sherry, thank you ever so much for being with us this hour. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too.
Sherry Tussler, Executive Director of the Hunger Task Force, our guest this hour, and we'll follow with great interest what happens with the Farm Bill that has been worked on today, and maybe there'll be some kind of answer tomorrow. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing the program. Thanks to Robin Cherry. No, Robin Cherry produced the program, and Robin Cherry did on-air production, and KP will produce the next hour.